Hello, hello. Welcome to Talking Ego. I'm your host, Ego Adeo, and it's just a pleasure to have you. Today's guest is another amazing, insightful, and funny individual. So yeah, let's jump in. All right, so I'm here with James Ashcroft.
Yeah, boy.
So James, do you remember how we met?
Yes.
Okay, because I remember a bit. A tiny bit. It was at the Airbnb, no? It was at the Airbnb. I keep calling it the Airbnb. It was at Sam's place.
It was at Sam's, yeah.
I heard about you from Sam.
Yeah.
And he said that you were, I think he introduced you as an actor.
Yeah.
He said that you'd written something that had won an award. So how did you actually get started in writing? And would you call yourself an actor first or a writer first?
Good question. I'd probably say I'm a screenwriter. Mostly, I've been writing scripts since about 10 years old. My first one was called Mission Accomplished. So that was predominantly pictures, I will admit, over the writing. But, you know, my interest was always there. I'm not saying these scripts were good, you know, especially at 10 years old when, you know, your grammar and everything isn't on point. My brother, who's autistic, he took one of my scripts once and he pissed on it, and that was on my 14th birthday, and I was like, I can't believe you've just done this. Yeah, he legit, I don't know if he knew what he was doing, but I think he was just trying to get maybe his perspective on the script across or something, but yeah, he legit did that, and all my mates were like, just laughing.
Hmm. Is he younger or older?
He's 2 years younger, he was 12.
Where is he on the spectrum?
Yeah, he's quite near the severe side.
Okay.
But he's a lovely boy, like he doesn't cause any trouble or anything, but I think he knew what he was doing with that. You know, and I don't think I'll forgive him.
Fair enough. I mean, do you still love him?
Yeah, of course.
No, that's
but
fine.
But it's just a blip in time where you'll just always remember that specific moment. Whenever he expects you to do something nice for him, I'd be like, Giles, remember when you pissed on my script on my birthday?
Hmm. That's quite interesting. I mean, it's so funny you mention that because I find with most of my family, if I met them outside of being family, we probably wouldn't be friends.
You know what I mean?
Like, for sure.
Don't you find, like, growing up, you always think your parents, well, particularly for me, I always thought my parents were, like, you know, amazing, like, superheroes, you know, just untouchable. But when you grow up, get past that 18 stage, you realize, no, they're not. They're just every other Joe's just trying to get by in life. Of course, I still love them, but it's not like that as a kid when you completely look up to them.
I completely agree. I had that for sure, maybe quite early on.
And it's a hard moment.
Yeah. I agree. And I think it's important because for me, I had different stages. First, it was, okay, my parents are heroes, or even if I didn't like them, I felt they always knew what the next step was.
Mm-hmm.
But then as you get older, you then take a step back and realize, okay, they aren't perfect. So first for me, it was like, okay, first of all, they aren't perfect. And I was kind of pissed off about that.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, how dare they impose so many rules on me? How can I get in so much trouble when they didn't even know what they were doing?
Yeah.
Then as I got older than that, I was like, wow, they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, yeah.
Because for me right now, if I had a kid, I mean, every day you learn how to figure this shit out.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've got much more of a broad perspective on the fact that we're just all trying to figure stuff out every
exactly,
day.
Exactly, yeah.
How would you say your relationship is with your parents now compared to when you were 16?
My childhood in particular was quite closed off. Like I think they just wanted to protect me a lot, so they wouldn't even let me go out for Halloween. You know, they wouldn't let me watch you know, movies that weren't the age rating, you know, just little things, and that would annoy me for sure. But like, as you do get older, I do respect what they've done. When I have kids, I think I'll do it differently to that. I won't go to that extreme, but when you look at their childhoods, I could see why they've done it. They didn't particularly have, like, great childhoods, both of them. So I guess that just made them extra protective. Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely respect them more.
Yeah.
Now.
I'm definitely the same. There's a lot more respect and not to be an arsehole, but a lot more forgiveness because I felt like I was unfairly angry at them for certain choices they made.
Mm-hmm.
When, and like I said, going back, I don't know what choices I would have made with the information that they had.
Because,
I mean, there's not many classes on how to raise a young Nigerian kid in an environment where he's by himself? How do you make him feel good about his identity? How do you teach him about girls? How do you teach him about finances? How do you teach him about all these kind of things while still trying to have a job, support them, support the house, their own, they were people before they were parents.
Yeah.
They've still got responsibilities outside of you.
Yeah.
And also, they have responsibilities to themselves and their own mental health. The wear and tear of having to deal with a kid every single day when you're not like in the most perfect financial situation, mental situation, relationship situation. Are your parents together?
Yeah.
Okay. Your friends growing up, were most of your friends, did most of your friends have parents who were together?
Yeah, I would say so. Now some of them have broken up as I've got older, yeah.
That's always a bit harder, I think.
Yes. Yeah. No, they've predominantly all stayed together. Yeah, maybe that's just the Cornish way or something, I don't know. It's a cultural thing.
Hey, James, where are you from? Because you just told me you're Cornish. I didn't know that. So, where were you born?
You didn't know that?
Have you got an accent?
No.
What the fuck? Well, yeah, how would I know?
Well, I don't know. I bring it up every 5 seconds or so. Well, I don't know. I like to say it's a different country. It's got its different flag and it's got a different language. So, yeah, it's got to
be Cornish?
A different country. No.
Oh.
No.
Whack.
Yeah, sorry, mate. Maybe I should start learning so me and my parents could have a secret sort of speaking language. But
Speaking language, yeah. Why not?
When I go down, you know, I go and see my parents like once every month and a half. My accent does get a bit more farmerish.
That is Cornish. Usually how it is.
Yeah. But yeah, my mum's really Cornish and she took real offense when I said, "Mum, you sound Cornish." She like properly took offense to it. She was like, "No, I don't."
Oh no.
Yeah. I was like, "Oh God, what have I done?" Yes, my dad doesn't sound anything like it at all. But well, he's from Devon.
Oh, so he's more cultured.
I did an ancestry thing, right? And my dad goes back to like to Germany and Ireland. Okay. And my mum's side, all Cornish for like literally 300 years. I'm like, "Mum,
I didn't
seriously
know it was that old."
Yeah.
Cornwall, yes.
You didn't realize Cornwall
was
that old.
Honestly, while you've been talking, I wasn't even listening. I was like, "Wait, what is Cornish for? It's Cornland? Cornwall.
Cornwall, no, yeah. Yeah. Cornland." Yeah.
I couldn't remember.
Bruh.
I figured it out.
Nah. It's the land of the farmers, mate. Cornish.
Is your brother living with your parents?
He is, yeah, at the moment. It was his birthday on the 27th. So, yeah, no, he's he had a good time. I think he went bowling.
Oh, cool.
McDonald's, yeah. Literally, you could just put McDonald's in front of him. He's the happiest boy in the world.
Yeah, I feel that's most people.
Yeah. Especially with the pandemic and whatnot.
This is true. Obviously, he's younger. Did you feel any pressure growing up as the older brother when you had a brother who's on the more severe spectrum of autism?
I think growing up, like as a kid, you don't fully realize the situation. And I don't think... I mean, he was at the same school as me up until 10 years old.
Sure.
And I just went about it, I didn't really get it. And then, yeah, maybe a bit later in my teenage years, I started to realize, but yeah, I could have treated him better, I think, as I grew up. Yeah, but because I treat him so well now, like it's almost just to make up for it. But as a kid, I just don't think you fully realize the situation. So yeah, it was quite hard. But yeah, there is pressure placed on you for sure, because you feel like you have to go to university, get a great career.
Sure.
You know, especially my parents didn't go to uni as well.
Oh, okay. So you're the first?
It was the first, yeah.
Yeah.
Lot of pressure, mate, actually. But yeah, I'm happy with where I'm at. Yeah, they're happy with where I'm at. And yeah, not so much pressure at the moment.
Cool.
Which is good.
No, I mean, I'm glad to hear it. Because I mean, I think from a subjective point of view, you're doing pretty well. I mean, during this pandemic, loads of people lost their jobs. Loads of people, even before losing their jobs, had no savings. You currently just found an even better job. And yeah, I mean, I think subjectively, you're killing it. On the side of that, you're fulfilling your dream of being a writer And do you want to be an actor?
When I said I do, it's more like I do workshops, classes, and like a bit of extra work. I mean, yeah, I can't really say I'm a full-blown like professional actor or anything. And you don't really know until you get like a proper role how good you are.
True.
Because you might quiver and get nervous and whatnot. So, you know, you have to be put in that situation. But yeah, I would love to be an actor. Like, I swear that's just the dream, isn't it? That the Hollywood lifestyle. Yeah, the paparazzi bit will suck.
Oh, suck. I thought you were going to go the other side. I thought you were going to be like, yeah, I want paparazzi.
No,
that's
no,
what I want. That's the only thing
I'm
doing.
No. I mean, you just have to look at pictures of DiCaprio on a yacht, loads of women, money. He's not even in the best shape at the moment, but they love him. And like, all his movies that he's done, like the talent, like, how could you not want that?
Agreed. I mean, a lot of people like to say money isn't everything, money corrupts, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, money is freedom. The way you use it, your mentality behind it is different. That can lead to different outcomes.
Mate,
but
I hate money the saying, money doesn't make you happy.
Money
oh
offers you freedom.
God,
freedom
it makes
you happy.
Me happy.
Sorry?
It makes me happy.
Okay, is money pure? Just period, point
just
blank.
Not pure, period, not pure blank. Money. But you Ooh. Cannot say it won't make you happier.
Do you
like
want to just slip your 20 right now?
Yes, please.
Okay.
But I think, ultimately, the key to happiness in life is to do something that you want to do, craft it, make it your own. And the ideal part is to, make money from it as well, which is ultimately what DiCaprio is doing. I mean, obviously that comes on the side, money, fame and whatnot. But what he really, truly loves is acting. And he does it very, very well.
He's all right.
He's all right. Okay.
He's one of the best of multiple generations.
Mm-hmm.
Of multiple generations. Yeah, he's something else. I completely agree with what you're saying, man.
And he does a lot of environment stuff, which is pretty cool as well.
I agree. And he seems like one of those guys who... Look, guys, I don't know him. I don't know what the fuck he's doing. But he seems like someone who just does shit under the radar, not to have it known. I mean, he's not really popping on social media.
Yeah.
He seems like he just does stuff.
Yeah.
And then people hear it later on, like, oh, he just donated $1 billion to this charity. Like, oh, yeah, he just does that shit.
Yeah. It's not like he's craving attention from it. How old is he now? Like, 47? Yeah.
I mean, is he... Is he
I swear he is.
For me, he's been in his 30s for like the last 30 years.
Mate, Titanic DiCaprio, mate, that's where it's at.
Oh, really?
100%. I'd go gay for it, mate.
See, I was joking. You answered that a bit too seriously because you took like a second to be like, oh, I would go gay for that.
Mate, I think if I had to go gay for someone, it would be DiCaprio and Titanic. You thinking about it too? Or yeah, have you got someone? Sam?
Yeah. Samwise Gamgee. Sam. No, that's different. Sam, he's my soulmate. We're going to end up together at some point. So, like, we don't need to rush it. But, yeah. I don't know. Weirdly, I haven't really thought about guys who I would go gay for. So, give me some time. Next episode, I'll tell you.
Okay. Yeah. So, you'll think about it.
Take a second.
Let me know.
Yeah.
Send me an email.
I'll send you, like, an edited picture of me and the guy. Doing the dirt. Yeah. Sure, yeah. Where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
This is like... These are big questions on me, mate. This isn't like topics in particular.
Actually, I've got a good one. Oh, this was like popping ages ago. There was this Reddit post a while back about this guy and girl who were dating for maybe a year, maybe a bit longer. And for both of them, they were the one. Best mental connection, best everything. It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were in their 20s and they decided to both do like parentage checks, basically to find out, okay, who is my dad? Who is my mom? Are they still alive? And all this. They find out that their parents are each other's parents.
Right.
So this guy and girl had been dating each other, had been having sex, and they are straight up brother and sister.
Yeah.
So this girl posted on Reddit her entire story on, I think, the relationship advice.
Because that's the immediate thing to do, isn't it? Go on Reddit. Oh, lol.
I mean, at a certain point, but she posted it because she needed advice. She was like, okay, so no. The guy posted, let me pose a similar question to you, but let me like up the stakes. So let's say same situation with you, but you've been with this person for 10 years. You met when you were in uni. You're together now until your 30s. You've now got two kids, one girl, one boy, both 5 and 7.
So the story that you were talking about before, are they kids or not?
I can't remember. Okay. But I'm giving you a different one, so don't worry about it.
If you have kids, that's a different dynamic, by the way.
Like, I completely agree. I completely agree. So I'm pretty sure with these two, they didn't have kids.
Okay.
They didn't have kids.
Right.
But I'm asking you, if you have kids, you're in a happy relationship and you're in your, let's say you're in your late 30s.
Yeah.
So you met like mid-20s, late 30s. So you could still go out there and meet somebody else, but you'd love this person. Mm. And aside from that, it's perfect. And you've got two kids.
Right.
You're the husband. Your wife doesn't know. What do you do?
I just don't think once I know, I'd be able to live with it, mate. Because that's just ultimately your sister. Yep. I think, to me, 10 years wasted. Sell the kids on eBay. And yeah.
You may still pop in, so you could get a good price.
Yeah. Bargain.
Yeah.
I would have to say something, mate. There's just no way I could carry on like nothing's happening. Put it on Reddit. Shall I tell her? Because everyone's going to be like, no. But they secretly know, yes. Yeah, yes, you should.
Yes. That's like sitcom level.
Yeah. Because they're not in your situation. They don't know like fully because it's just so rare. But yeah, ultimately, I would have to discuss it with her and explain the situation. But the hard thing is, how would she react?
Yeah, what if she wants to stay together?
Imagine that. That's my point. Like, if she wanted to stay together and saying, I love you, and whatnot, like, I don't care. Yeah.
And you love her, by the way.
Oh, my.
And let's say you've already got two kids, you don't want any more. These two kids are fine. So you've already like, rolled the dice and been lucky twice. So these kids are, they got all their fingers. They're not crazy. No offense to the children of incest out there, if you're listening, sorry.
Based on her reaction, if she was...
She's like, all about it.
If she was all about it, even if it turned her on even more in some weird way.
Hmm.
I don't know. It'd be different people have different opinions, but I personally just couldn't do it. But obviously, we'd split and would have custody of the kids and whatnot.
Imagine they ask you why. So you know, yeah. You two.
Be like, yeah. Well, why didn't you figure this out early? Both like the same things. You both look the same. Yeah.
Identical twins.
Yeah.
The fuck, Dad?
Both got the same surname as well. No, I think, I don't think I'll be able to live with it, mate. I mean, that's not me. Couldn't do it. What about you? I'm going to flip it on you. What's your answer? You'd do it, wouldn't you?
You'd
do it.
I have turned things down with girls who look a bit like me.
Mm-hmm.
So someone's like my genetic sister. Mm-mm. But yeah, again, kids, like that long history, that plays a part. So long story short, I'd break up. But I'm just thinking, how would I deal with it? How would I navigate it with the kids? How would I navigate it with the wife?
How would you tell the kids?
Because I think you should tell them. But at the same time, maybe you shouldn't.
I would just probably...
separate them so they fight each other. So.
Yeah, part two. Mm. Mate, yeah, every story needs a sequel, mm-hmm. mate. Hollywood loves sequels.
Yep.
Oh, man, it's going to be an awkward tale to the kids, but like somehow you can't just have them finding out later on and then detesting you for it because they are bound to figure it out, you know, in their early 20s or whatever when they get older.
I think, honestly, it's worse if they're younger. Because if they're older, they'll understand why it's so fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, yeah, of course, that's disgusting. You have to break up. But then if they're younger, there's the question of, do I tell them the entire truth? Would that lead them to a certain behavior? I'd be worried about that.
It's going to mess them up. No doubt. They're going to come out of this like, oh, that's fucking sick. Like,
that's
no.
Dope. Yeah. That's tight.
Jeez. No way. So, I don't know. I would like to move on quickly and find someone else. Yeah, it's an awkward story to say, but I'm all about honesty and I just think,
all right,
I just can live with it.
All right, nice boy. I'm all about honesty. All right, so I don't want to talk about yourself anymore, but we are going to. So I want to know
where I'm going to be in 20 years now.
Nah, you're not that interesting.
I'll be dead, mate.
Be high on cocaine for the next 19 years, cuz. Okay, so you've just finished writing a feature film.
Mm.
But when I first met you, you had already won an award for, I think, a short film that you wrote, right? Or was that a feature film as well?
That was basically...
Oh, you gone to the top.
I'd gone far in a competition for a feature film, comedy. Yeah.
Could you tell me what the film was about?
The comedy? Sure. Basically, you got four Brits who are traveling across Nevada in the US in a camper van, Volkswagen camper van for the holiday. So they get mixed up with the Colombian cartel, essentially. They befriend a hitchhiker called Steve, who's Nigerian, and he steals this drug money.
Typical.
And they unknowingly go on about their trip, and they realize later on, oh shit, we're in the deep end here, boys. Yeah, because they get chased. That's what the feature film's called, The Chase. I know there's a TV show on it. I've stolen it. Sorry, Bradley Walsh. Don't give a shit. You can't copyright that.
Come see me. Address.
Catch me outside. How about that? Catch me outside. I'm really excited. Like, it came far. I've had to refine it again and change elements, and I'm putting them into competitions for this year. Cool. And they've already got through certain stages. So, yeah, really happy with it. And basically, I've based the characters on people I know. So there's a character, Sam's character's in it. You got a friend called Isan, who's in it. Got two friends from university are in it. And they all just seem to work very well together. So yeah, I'm pleased about it. It's good banter. It's not, I mean, people say, oh, that sounds quite like the In-Betweeners. That it's not that grotesque sort of humor to that certain extent. It's a bit more tamed down, but still very funny. Well, I'd like to think so anyway.
Hey man, you got to. If you don't, then fuck, who else will?
I don't find it funny, but you made it. Yeah. But yeah, no, really happy with it. And I've just done another feature film called Perfection, which is based on a amateur boxer who appoints a sadistic trainer to help train him to become the best in the world. And he does become the best in the world eventually, but he slowly starts to lose his mind, like mentally. So I think that was, that was a good story to write. I won't spoil it too much.
All right.
But yeah, it's quite dark for sure. Okay.
Cool. Man, you've done quite a bit. And like, on top of working a full-time job, just trying to stay afloat during COVID. How do you stay motivated?
With the pandemic, I found it easier to find time to do the scripts and refine them. So I'm not going to say it's been a blessing in disguise because COVID's been awful and whatnot, but it certainly gives you more free time to potentially take on hobbies that you wanted to do but just didn't have the time to do. I think you've always got to have a passion, mate. People who are in jobs, they can't say for certain that is their passion. I think something's always got to keep you going. Some people don't find it, and I find that really frightening.
Yeah.
That all they do is a 9-to-5, go home, watch Netflix, and leave it that, and just repeat it day after day.
Yeah.
I find that so depressing that you just don't have something that, you know, like a hobby that just keeps you going. And,
yeah, that
and,
excites you.
Yeah, exactly. You have it, you know, Sam has it, loads of my other friends have it, but I feel sorry for people who don't, because at the end of the day, life is about enjoying yourself and finding passions that you want to do. So I really think people, if you are listening, try to find something that truly excites you and that you want to do. You know, you may not make big money out of it, but at the end of the day, you know, you're doing something that you enjoy. And a 9-to-5 job, you may enjoy that 9-to-5 job. That may literally be your dream job. So if that is, like, that's great for you. But if it's not, please just, you know, go out there and try to find something that really makes you happy. You know, you have to obviously do the job to keep you afloat and to bring income in. I do get that. But, you know, you always have some spare time, you know, whether that be on the weekend or, yeah, but before or after work to do something. So I hope you do.
Man, that's a pretty good place to end it. Thank you, man.
Sorry, I was getting into a bit of a speech.
No, that's literally, I didn't interrupt you because I was enjoying what I was hearing, man. It's been a pleasure.
No, I appreciate you having me, and I look forward to speaking to you again if you'll have me.
Mate, goes without saying. Again. Thank you.